Hello, happy, well, basically last day of winter here for slash first day of spring. Weather's getting warmer. Love to see it. For today's episode, we're going to start off by previewing Wednesday's massive game against the Colorado Avalanche. Maybe do a little look ahead of the Stars as well, but the main focus will be previewing the game against Colorado, going over some practice notes before getting into, is Fenway Sports Group really paying attention? That's all coming up right after this drop.
Your Locked On Penguins, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Penguins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Hunter Hodes. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Hunter Hodes. Follow the show's Twitter at NHL Penguins. And of course, thank you all so much for making this your first listen of the day. Free and available on all platforms. Just a PSA, up to 986 subscribers on the YouTube channel now, 14 away. If you are not subscribed yet, just be sure to mash that subscribe button so we can get to 1,000, hopefully before the end of this week. All right, let's jump into it. As I said on my Monday episode, for those that did not listen, Wednesday, I will probably have to miss the entire game. My girlfriend and I, you know, we treated ourselves to a concert out in Columbus. For those who have seen Steel Panther, it is basically an 80s spoof slash parody band, rock band, I should say. But they also do play their own songs. I'm probably not allowed to play them on here because they're very inappropriate and contain a lot of very inappropriate words. But if you were to look up at least one of their songs, you would see what kind of band this is. Again, they're parodying the 80s with that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really excited about it. We'll have to go back on ESPN Plus and watch a replay of the game and see if they can maybe surprise me. But Penguins Avalanche, round two of Crosby versus MacKinnon this year. The Penguins got the better of the Avalanche, you know, just about what, a month ago, a little more than a month ago, I would say. Penguins won that game in overtime 2-1. Remember, Penguins, they were not playing well in that game. The Avalanche were kind of blowing them right off the rink, but it was Casey DeSmith that really stood tall in that game, made a lot of very key saves. And I know it was Nathan MacKinnon that scored to make it 1-0, but Penguins were able to stay with it. They got the game tying goal, I believe, thanks to Malkin and Zucker there with about 3 minutes left. They then looked like they scored in overtime, was called back, and then they get the power play and they score and win 2-1. Again, probably a game they deserve to lose, but hey, you take it. But you know, this game, it's going to be very different. It's in Denver. Avalanche are a bit healthier right now. If you look at their lines, Evan Rodriguez with Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. I don't have to tell you all just how good Nathan MacKinnon is. He is a top 3 to 4 player in this sport. You know, Mikko Rantanen, he's one of the best pure goal scorers we have in this sport. And yes, Evan Rodriguez is on their top line. I will forever be sad. Yes, I will be, that he is not on the Penguins. He took such a cheap deal with Colorado's only making, what, $2 million? For this season. You know, Penguins easily could have done that. And you know, I've heard a whisper or two about why he was not brought back. I'm not going to share it right now. Hopefully down the line we can have some story time with that. But I'll say if it's true, it's a very stupid reason why he was not brought back. You can come up with that as you wish. But you know, he's having a great year. It stinks that he's not here. How would he be helping the depth right now? That's for sure. Valeri Nichushkin, JT Compher, Dennis Malgin on their second line. Andrew Cogliano, Lars Eller, Logan O'Connor on their third line. Yes, they did. Remember, they picked up Lars Eller from the Washington Capitals. Dennis Malgin also was in a trade. Matt Nieto, Alex Newhook, and yes, old friend Alex Galchenyuk is there. You know, they've got a little bit out there, but they've also had some injuries. Gabriel Landeskog is still on IR. You know, I'm sure he'll be back for the playoffs. Kale McCarr, he is day-to-day. Eric Johnson's out. Darren Helm is out. Arturi Lehkonen is out. Josh Manson, Pavel Francouz. You know, they've got a lot of guys back, but they've also had a lot of guys that have exited the line. This team has been so banged up this year, it is not even funny. But still, you know, even with those guys out, this is a very dangerous Colorado Avalanche team. And if you look at, you know, the race right now, for the playoffs in the West, you know, they're gunning for that first spot in the Central. It's funny, you know, they're second right now. in the Central. I think it was like last week, Nathan McKinnon was like, well, if we get a wild card spot, no one's going to want to play us. No one's going to want to play us. I just said playoffs like twice in a row. And it's like, my brother in Christ, Nate, you have 13 games left. You are 1 point out of first place behind the Dallas Stars, and you are 7 points up with two games in hand on the Winnipeg Jets. You are not going to be a wild card team. That is who they are going to play in that 2-3 matchup. And boy, oh boy, seeing them play Dallas or Minnesota in the first round, whoo, that's going to be a ticket. Oh, I wish I could go to all those games. With Kaprizov coming back from Minnesota, whether it's Dallas with Jason Robertson, Rupe Hintz, and, you know, Miro Heiskanen, whoo, both teams healthy there, will be a lot of fun. But the Abs, they're one of my favorite teams in the league to watch. They are so fast. They're so skilled. They play strong defense. They usually get good goaltending. Though I will say, it looks like Pavel Francouz is out right now, so I would assume Alexander Georgiev, formerly the New York Rangers, we'll start in this one. With the players that they do have out, you know, I think the opportunity will be there for the Penguins to maybe steal this one. Defensively, Devon Taves, Sam Girard, Jack Johnson, Bowen Byram, Curtis McDermott, and Brad Hunt. So right now, no Cale Makar. As of right now, I don't think he's going to play tomorrow. That can obviously change. He's currently listed, if you go to Daily Faceoff, as day-to-day. So we'll have to see. Landeskog is still on IR. Manson's out. Arturi Lehkonen is out. Franzos is out. So, you know, I'm not fully sure if any of these guys are coming back, but, you know, if I have to see if one's more likely, it's probably Makar. But, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup. Ever since that kind of really ugly hit, I would say, from Jeff Carter about a little over a month ago, he just hasn't really been able to stay healthy for most of the season. It's really a shame because I think he's the best defenseman that this sport has to offer. You can certainly argue a couple of other people, but, you know, offensively, defensively, you put the whole thing together, I don't think there's anyone better than Makar. He's awesome. You know, it's going to take a full team effort to beat this Colorado team. I don't care if they have some of their regulars out. McKinnon can burn you. Rantanen's awesome. Evan Rodriguez, we know what he can do. Lars Eller, despite not being what he once was, he can still play well against the Penguins defensively. Girard and Devon Taves, very, very good. Bowen Byram, he can also hurt you from the blue line. You know, Nichushkin's had another really strong year. You know, Logan O'Connor's a good player. Alex Newhook. You know, they have good depth, even with a lot of these guys hurt. So for the Penguins, it's all about slowing down that top line with McKinnon and Rantanen, getting some more traffic in front of Georgiev. And please, for the love of God, can this team try to finish some chances? It's been a huge problem all year. It's always been a huge problem for the last couple of seasons. You know, they generate some of the most expected goals in the league, and their finishing is always in the lower third. It's crazy, you know. And just a couple of years ago, this was the best finishing team in the league, as well as a commenter on the YouTube page reminded me of. Yeah, last year, that went down to basically 30th. This year, it's close to the same. So it'd be really nice if the Penguins got some puck luck slash buried their chances on this one. Georgiev, you know, he's had a fine year. You know, all the Avalanche need is league average goaltending, and they're fine. If Georgiev can give them that, they're going to be a really tough out in a 7-game series. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for in this one. Also be nice if the penalty kill could step up. They don't even have, as of right now, as of this recording, they don't have Cale Makar in the lineup. They also don't have Gabriel Landeskog. They don't have Arturi Lehkonen. They have Nichushkin, Confort, Rantanen, Byram, and McKinnon. Obviously, McKinnon and Rantanen, you know what they can do. Nichushkin's fine. But, you know, it's mainly just two really strong players on my top power play unit. Want to see how they respond. And if the power play could not clog the toilets, that's also something I'm looking for. Goaltending wise, I'm not really sure who the Penguins are going to start in this one. I would assume Tristan Jarry is going to go here. You can't go wrong, honestly. You can go to Smith against Colorado. You can go Jarry against Dallas if you want. You can go Jarry here to Smith in Dallas. This is a very hard back-to-back for the Penguins. As I said on my Monday episode, I'll be stunned if they even get a point from this back-to-back. Now, as I say that, watch them go sweep both of these teams and win like 4-1 or something like that. I don't think it's likely. But if you can squander out a point or even get a win in one of these two games, I'm going to say that I'm going to think that's a major win for this team heading in after this back-to-back, heading into Saturday's game against the Washington Capitals, another must-win. I mean, these are all must-win games from here on out. The Penguins are 1 point behind the Panthers right now. Panthers are playing in Philadelphia tonight. If they win, they're 3 points up on the Penguins. You know, it's go time here. No, there's no time for slouching around or anything. This is a big game against Colorado, And, you know, I'll be curious to see if the Penguins are up for, you know, in terms of other game notes for this one. I love getting emails from the Penguins PR team. Penguins have points in 10 of their last 16 games against the Avalanche. They're 9-6-1 in those games. They're also 6-4-0 in their last 10 games to Ball Arena. And they're 17-10 overall against Western Conference opponents this season. This is one of their final games against West teams. The Penguins are also 10-1 versus Central Division opponents this season. Their only loss against the Winnipeg Jets. They've also outscored their opponents 41-21 in the Central Division. Be nice if that could carry over for this one. No really big injury updates today. Brian Russ had a little bit of an injury scare, took a puck off the hand. It looks like he's fine. Jeff Petrie came out after practice. He skated. He's still not ready to go yet. Marcus Pedersen, he's only eligible to come back on the regular season finale. In about a month. Jan Rutta, status quo. Dmitry Kulikov, status quo. So probably going to see most of the same players in the lineup for tomorrow. You know, be nice to see if Carter and Dumoulin scratch, but at this point, Yins, I don't see it. So that's just a small preview for the game against the Avalanche. Must win for the Penguins. Want to see how they show up. Again, I unfortunately will not be able to watch this one. I have watched every game basically this season. You know, I think I can live with just missing one game at this time, even though that we are in the thick of a playoff race here. I've just had these concert tickets for the last few months. Honestly, Yins, I thought the Penguins would have their playoff spot locked up at this point. I didn't think this would be an issue when I booked those concert tickets back in like November or December, whenever I did. But that wraps up this first segment. Tell me up in the second segment, is the Fenway Sports Group actually paying attention? I'm going to give my answer to that coming up right after this commercial break. But before we get into that, we have to touch on FanDuel. The NCAA tournament is heating up with the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight this week. And now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, the America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. And that's bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app right now. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and freeze drain. Plus, FanDuel lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So don't miss a chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That is FanDuel.com/lockedon. Learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA and the NCAA tournament. And of course, Locked On. All right, I'm back here in this episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I am your host, Hunter Hodes. Excuse me. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Hunter Hodes. Follow the shows for Analyst Penguins. And of course, thank you all so much for making this your first listen of the day. Now, this has been a hot topic of conversation I think I've seen on Penguins Twitter as of late and subreddit and all this stuff. Is the Fenway Sports Group actually paying attention? Do they care about this team? Because, yeah, I get it. It's very easy to say that they don't because they've been radio silent. No statements, no press conferences, no nothing. Ever since they bought the team, crickets, nothing. But I think I can tell you pretty confidently they do care about the team. And I say that because, you know, people have asked me, like, do they have people at the game? And, you know, I've been told that, yes, they usually have a representative or two there watching the team. I don't know how high up they are in Fenway. I've never met these people, obviously. I'm just going off what I've heard. And they report back to their bosses, John Henry, Tom Warner, other people up there that own the Fenway Sports Group. I am sure they are very well aware of what is going on right now. I'm 100%. I'm fairly confident in that. And I know it's easy to say that they don't because there's nothing really been going on with it, but I can assure you I'm fairly confident that they're not happy with what's going on here, with how the fans are just, you know, fed up. There's a real chance, a pretty good chance, that there may not be playoffs in this town for the first time since 2006, believe it or not. I was 8 years old that year when they first, in this first year of the Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Tang era. They know that's a lot of money loss. It is. Those extra, even just an extra two games at the arena. An extra two games at the arena is all it takes sometimes. It is. That's all it takes for getting a lot more revenue in the building because those games sell out so quick. But I definitely think they are paying attention. And it's why I do think that if this season continues to go south and it ends with the team not making the playoffs, I do think you will see the front office get cleaned out. And I don't know about Mike Sullivan. From what I've heard, again, they love him. You know, they just signed him to an extension this past summer. Obviously, we've seen coaches get fired, you know, less than a year into their contracts. You know, remember, Mike Johnson was here for a season and a half before he was let go, you know. So anything can happen. But I do think this is setting itself up for the front office to hopefully be cleaned out at the end of the season, whether they make the playoffs or not. Because I don't think, even if they make the playoffs, I don't think it's going to be a super long run or anything like that. But, you know, what I've really wondered is, you clean out the front office. Who's speaking at that press conference? That's the big question I have. You clean out Ron Hextall and Brian Burke. Who is giving that press conference? Is it John Henry? Is he flying in from Boston or wherever the hell he is? Is it Tom Werner? I think it would have to be, right? Unless Kevin Ackland is coming in there. But he's also only the president of the business side of the organization. So is he going in there to speak? I mean, I don't think so. I think the ownership group actually have to come in and talk about this themselves. But, you know, I can fairly confident say that they are paying attention. I'm sure they're not happy. You know, it's obviously unfortunate that this, you know, I shouldn't say unfortunate. It is a bit weird that this ownership group is not, you know, I guess as hands-on as the other ownership group is. But I'm also of the belief that, you know, I'm not really super huge on very, very, very hands-on ownership groups. You know, like for the Steelers example, you know, the Rooney family, you know, they let, you know, Kevin Colbert do his job before he retired. They let Omar Khan do his job now with Andy Weidel. They let Mike Tomlin do his job as the head coach, and they let the players play, and they stay out of that stuff. You know, obviously, you know, I think the Rooney family has a little bit of say with the money they give out, because, you know, I think Art Rooney II is involved in some of the player management and all that. But for the most part, it's Omar Khan doing the work. You know, I think for here, you know, the Fenway Sports Group, you know, right now they're letting, you know, Hextall and Burke do the thing. And, you know, I think a lot of people can only hope that ends after this season. But, you know, that's how I kind of see it right now. And also, we don't really fully know how they feel about Hextall and Burke. You know, for all we know, they're just waiting for the season to end so they can fire them both. You know, maybe they're thinking they're doing a good job. Probably not, because they're on the way to missing the playoffs after they just brought back the core. But you see where I'm getting at here? I think, trying to like just fully summarize this, you know, at the end of the day, it's hard to blame someone like Mario for making a bad move, because he's done so much for this team, organization, this city. But he and Burkle really made a grand screw up with this. They didn't have to choose Ron Hextall and Brian Burke. They could have chosen anyone else. Mike Gillis, Chris McFarland, John Ferguson, I think, was one of the candidates on their shortlist. They went with Ron Hextall. And then it was Mario that said, hey, what's Burkey doing? Give him a call. He can have a job here too. Not a good decision. It's very rare when Mario has an L, but he took two major L's with this one. And I've seen reports that people have alienated him from the franchise. I don't think that's true. I don't think the Fenway Sports Group has done that at all. I think Mario was just skating at his alumni thing at PPG Paints Arena this past weekend. So I don't think that's true at all. But, you know, it's definitely, you know, a hot topic. It's going to continue being a hot topic for the rest of the season. But I do think, I try to be, you know, an optimist. I try to see the big picture with everything. I do think if this continues the way it's going, especially if they miss the playoffs here, you will see a new front office next season. That's what I think, at least. I just don't see how anyone in the front office can really survive this. And maybe even some of the coaching staff as well. But that wraps up this second segment. Coming up to end the show, we're going to get into a couple of other things as well, especially just, you know, how quick can this team turn around next season if this thing continues to go south. But before we get to that, if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me, when you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. And seriously, they're so delicious, you won't even think they're good for you. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution. And what makes them so good? Well, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. And that's right, real chocolate. And they come in great flavors like churro, peanut butter, brownie, and coconut almond. They also have only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And the best part, we've been talking about, you know, ordering your Built bars at Built.com with the promo code Locked On and all that. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or your Sam's Club. Just head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, grab yourself a box of Built bars, whether that's cookies and cream, double chocolate and coconut puffs. And you can do the same thing at Sam's Club. Go in there, get a 13 bar box of brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later when it comes to all that. All right, I'm back here in this episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I'm your host, Hunter Hodes. Remember to follow me on Twitter, Hunter Hodes, follow the show's Twitter, LRSO Penguins. Of course, thank you all so much for making this your first listen of the day. So if this season continues to go down the path that I think some people expect it to, that would obviously mean the playoff streak is ending. You know, for the first time since I was 8 years old, they would not be in the playoffs. And, you know, that comes a common talking point like, oh, it's time to blow it up. The team's done, all that stuff. But look what the Capitals are about to do this summer. Granted, they decided to sell a little bit at the deadline. They know they're probably not going to get in the playoffs right now. They retooled. They sold out some of their pending UFAs. I know you can make the argument right now that the Penguins should have done that. I will still side on the fact that I was fine with them buying. I just didn't like what the GM did. I mean, I was fine with the Bonino trade, but I didn't like that he gave out a second-round pick to acquire a player who is the antithesis of what this team needs. And, you know, for as much as I'm happy that the Brock McGinn contract is off the books, Dmytro Kulikov isn't that much better even when he's healthy. So he's up after the year, whatever. I don't think he's going to come back. But, you know, I just don't think he had that good of a deadline because he waited too long to fix a lot of these problems. With that said, you know, I do think especially if a new front office comes in here, Penguins can be a really good team next season. Look at Sidney Crosby and Andy Malkin. I mean, maybe you can't count on them to be fully healthy next year, although that'd be awesome. But Sid's still chugging along, almost 90 points so far this year. Evgeny Malkin's on pace for 75, 80 points. He's been electric. Chris Letang is still playing really well. And I know, you know, you can't rely on them to be this good forever, but as long as the core is playing well and carrying them on a nightly basis, you know, you owe it to them to build around them. And I think, you know, you could definitely come in here, a new management group that is, cut some dead weight off this roster. Brian Dumoulin is gone after this season. You know, you can figure out what you want to do at the goaltending position. If you want to bring Tristan Jarry back, is that what you want to do? Do you want to bring in someone else as like a 1A, 1B thing? Do you move on from Casey to Smith? That's another question. Do you try to move out some salary? Josh Archibald obviously is coming off the books. Ryan Poehling, his contract is up. Jason Zucker, what's the decision there? But they have a lot of cap space this summer. This isn't just going to be a team that's going to roll over and die going into next season where it's like, oh, you know, we're going to retool, rebuild, you know. You have a much better shot of going for another cup with this core than you do of, you know, finding the next generational player and just doing like a Detroit / Buffalo style rebuild where you're just garbage for like a decade. That's what we literally have seen with Buffalo. Up until this season, they have been one of the worst teams in the league for the last 10 to 11 years. Do you really want to go down that road and be awful for 10 to 11 years? I think 99% of fans would say no. Detroit. They found out the hard way as well. This is the first year they've been, you know, at least semi-competent in the league since, what, 2015, 16, maybe a little before that. You know, they were really bad after that season. They were horrendous. But you see how long it takes to rebuild with those teams just because they don't have those star players anymore. Right now, the Penguins still have those star players, and you owe it to them to put the best team around them so that they can go out and try to win one more Stanley Cup. You brought the core back last offseason, and you said, we're in it to win it. That's what the Fenway Sports wants us to do. You can't just go back on your word there. Draft picks be damned at this point. Obviously, you want to look ahead to the future as well, but there's no reason to think this team can't be good next season and in years to come. The Capitals are going to try to be good next year. You think they're going to try to start their rebuild / retool early with Ovechkin still going for that record? Hell no. Hell no. They're going to try to put a competent team around him, and they're going to try to go push for the playoffs and another cup next season. They have money to spend as well. And that's what the Penguins should do, especially if they can get a new management group in there that actually knows what they're doing, actually has a plan, and puts said plan to action. It doesn't just have roster evaluations that are from players that were good 5 or 6 years ago. Because that's Ron Hextall's player evaluation at this point. He like finds players who were good back in 2016 and 2017, or 2018 as well, and that's who he's been adding to this team. So, again, you know, people that say like, oh, it's time to, you know, blow it up and start that rebuild. No, no, I'm not there yet. I won't be there until these guys really start slowing down. It will be so much easier if the big guns actually stopped playing this well. Because you're like, okay, you can start the rebuild. They can phase into the retirement, all that stuff. But they're still chugging along late into their mid to late 30s, excuse me. Why stop? Why stop trying to win? It's not the mandate you had last offseason when you brought them both back. If you didn't want to win, you would have just cut bait with them. Last offseason, you brought in lesser versions than like John Klingberg and Vince Trocheck. So this team could definitely win next season and even after that. Just want to end the show with that. Again, thank you all so much for making this your first listen of the day, especially, you know, thank you so much for listening in general. 14 subscribers away from 1,000 on the YouTube channel. Really excited about that for monetization. And of course, thank you all so much on the audio side. Top 10 in average listens last week across the network. You all are the best. Wherever you're listening or slash watching, you all are the best listeners out there. But again, thank you all so much for listening. I will try to have an episode up tomorrow at some point. If not, and there's probably a better chance that I won't have an episode tomorrow, I will have an episode on Thursday breaking down that game against the Avalanche after I go back into the ESPN Plus replays and look at it. And then we will recap that game against the Dallas Stars and also preview, get the game against Washington later on in the week. So, you know, no shortage of Penguins content coming for you all here. Again, thank you all so much for listening. Really, really appreciate it. We'll be back with an episode either tomorrow, if possible, but definitely on Thursday. Have a good day.